like God gives people cancer, God, you know, causes all these things that happen in the earth. You know, how many times our natural disasters are called an act of God, right? So he gets a bad rap so often, right? And it's us that want to show the goodness of God because he is so good, amen? You know, I mean, I just think about, you know, there's things that do happen. I mean, we have trials, we have tribulations, we know that. But, you know, it's okay, we always have this hope in Christ. And today, let me just speak some hope to you this morning and just kind of recharge and refresh you in a hope that you have in God, because he wants you to always know that he gets the final word, that you have a hope in God. And no matter what the circumstance, God is still reigning and on his throne. Amen? He hasn't moved off that position. So we just thank God for that. And, you know, we rejoice in that. You know, there's no question that God can turn any situation around for his glory and our benefit. And, you know, that includes some really horrific situations, right? But we know God is supreme. He is the Almighty God, and he can do that. He can turn around things. You know, that is not his design. He did not create us to live in defeat, right? Come on, we are more than conquerors in Christ. That's what the Word of God says, right? So, you know, it's his desire, you know, to show us the kingdom, that we have the kingdom of God within us. Hey, you know, when the angels came, do you remember at Christmas time, the angels came and said, I want to give the earth peace and goodwill towards men. Guess what? That message has not changed. God still wants to give goodwill and peace is a weapon. Maybe you don't look at it that way, but peace is a weapon. If we live in peace, we don't get agitated by what's outside, what's in the exterior, but we have this inner peace with Jesus, that he is the Prince of Peace within us, and that we can draw from that peace, that he is with us. We're never alone. He's never abandoned us. It says he will always be with us, right? And so it's our great pleasure. It's really cool, Jim, that you talked about that a little bit, you know, that the earth is going mad, but we have the privilege. You were talking about reconciliation. That we actually get to bring that reconciliation. In the Word of God, it's called we're ministers of reconciliation, that we bring people, we have the world come and be reconciled unto God. The problem with the world today, the world is somewhat in rebellion against God. Would you somewhat agree? Because they don't acknowledge God. You know, the world is becoming more secular, right? Our churches are getting less influence, less of an influence on our society, which should not be, right? But I believe the church is not just moving inside the church. He's moving outside the church, because now he's bringing his church out and moving in the marketplaces. Come on, because we need to move out of the church and be an influence. You are an influence wherever you go, because you have words in your mouth that create an atmosphere. You have things that you can speak in the atmosphere that can change things. You know, I don't know about you, but when I used to work at, I was a assistant manager at a medical clinic, there were things that, you know, I really believe it was the Lord just gave me favor, discernment, and wisdom in my workplace, that I could set an atmosphere of peace, that when it was very chaotic, you know, I'd just start praying, and then, you know, God would just really move. And it's funny, this is for the glory of God, but sometimes when I'd be gone, they couldn't wait till I got back, because there was so much chaos when I was gone. You know, and it's just like, you know, this is the influence we have. And so God, you know, we're participating, we're co-laboring, we're co-partnering with God to bring reconciliation to this world. So when the angels came and declared, peace I give you, and, you know, peace and goodwill towards men, that agenda has never left God's lips. He desires for us to experience that and live in that and be in that, but not just for ourselves, but for other people, right? So this is the cry of our heart, that we would be an influence, that we would give hope, you know, and we owe, you know, like I love how Bill Johnson says, he says, we owe people an encounter of God. And that's what we do, right? When we bring hope in a situation, when we bring faith, when we bring joy, when we bring peace, you know, when we can come in and we can pray in a situation, we can bring just the presence of the Lord, right? We host the presence of the Lord. We're a habitation for God, right? Because the Old Testament was that they didn't have a habitation, right? They lived on a visitation. But when Christ came, and then when Christ went to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit, so his Holy Spirit would come then and live in us. Wow. I mean, if you just grab hold of that truth, that could be really revolutionary when we really think about the Holy Spirit living within us. So we have this amazing hope that is within us, and I really see how many of you know that this culture needs hope. We've been so battered, and you know, hope deferred makes a heart sick. That's what the scriptures say. If there's no hope, you know, it's hard to get up in the morning. Come on. And we have hope. And I've seen people lose hope. You know, I've seen things tragically happen. You know, and it's no fault of God, because our God is a good God. But sometimes people make choices. Things happen. Life happens, right? We're in a fallen world. Things do happen. But we can shift those things. We can turn those things around. And hope is a biblical kingdom sense. It is the joyful expectation of something good. Come on, don't we need to have an expectation of something good is going to happen? Do you ever hear that? You know, that God is up to something and something good is going to happen. How about that for a declaration? You know, no matter what it looks like, we can say and declare that God is going to turn around all things for his glory. And so we thank you, Lord, for that. When I look at the scriptures in the Bible, I look at Romans 4, and it's a whole chapter dedicated to Abraham, who was the father of all nations. This is amazing, okay? When you think you're hopeless, you can look at Abraham, right? Now, how many of you know the story of Abraham? He was supposed to be called the father of all nations, yet he was 100 years old, his body dead, and Sarah, you know, close to that too, and they're supposed to conceive this promised child to continue on to bring forth the Messiah, but yet they both were dead. They both were dead. They could not produce. And so what did God do? But God called him out and said he would be the father of nations. See, sometimes we got to speak to ourselves and say what God has spoken over us. Come on. That we have the Spirit of the living God within us. We are not weak. We are not powerless. We have something to produce in this earth. We have something to give. We have something to encourage other people in. And so this hope is so important. So we have this story, amazing story in Romans 4, and it talks about how that Abraham was God's friend, and he is our friend. And he counted Abraham's faith as righteousness. It's amazing that he didn't have to do anything. It was just that he simply believed. Isn't that how we received our salvation? Just by simply believing. It wasn't a striving. It wasn't trying to do all these religious acts, pray 100 million hours and you know, give a whole bunch of money or do it. And none of that brings salvation. What brings salvation is just trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so the finished work of Jesus Christ is complete. It's done. He doesn't have to go back on the cross and do something different. He's already done it. And all we have to do is receive it. So sometimes we need a refresher course on hope, I think. And we have to realize, you know, that God desires to want to give us hope. So in Romans 4:18, it says, and we know the story, okay? Abraham didn't have any hope if he looked at the things in the natural. Come on. So often we're looking things in the natural. And this is what we need to do, is get eyes in the mind of Christ to see What is really going on? Come on. Because I feel like so often we just stick to what we see in the natural, and we don't ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to see in this situation? You ever ask God that? You know, God speaks. God can give you wisdom and understanding about things. He says to ask for understanding. So right away, we usually flip to something very negative because there's so much negative going on that we totally lost hope, and we don't say, well, Lord, what are you seeing that I need to see? Because do you ever think God is wringing his hands or hopeless up in heaven and sweating bullets? You know, that's, you know, no, he's not. He is firm and he's constant. I love the songs we did today because they were all songs about hope. Did you notice that? They're all songs about hope, that we will not be shaken, you know, that we can stand and that, you know, even though the world spins like mad, he remains faithful, and that's what we depend on. The faithfulness of God. It's not even what we do. It's just the very character and the nature of God, that God is love and God is faithful, and he does. He cares for us. He is ever for us. And I think that is what's really amazing, that we need to understand. He doesn't drop the ball. He doesn't say, okay, you blew it and now I'm not going to help you. No, he is there and he is for us. So we have this incredible hope. So in Romans 4:18, it talks about that. It talks about how Abraham, against all odds, and 4:18, against all odds, I'm going to read this out of the Passion. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word and as a result became the father of many nations. God's declarations over him came to pass, and your descendants will be many, so many that they will be impossible to count. Faith gave substance to hope, right? And everything at first seemed hopeless. But what did God do? He spoke over Abraham. Do you know that God is a creator? And you remember he created the earth by speaking? And he is using us even to create with our words. Our words have power. But in some translations, it says hope against all hope. But what is hope against all hope? Hope against all hope. It's when the natural hope that has limitations gets swallowed up by divine hope that knows no limitations. Wow. Because you know what? Sometimes we call it I wish instead of I hope. But we don't wish, we hope in God who can do all things, where there's no limitations because he's limitless. Hope is powerful because it has a supernatural life attached to it. Think about it. When we have hope, it's incredible. It draws us to faith, to believe God in his promises. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how many of us have lost hope. Lost hope in the world. Lost hope in relationships. Lost hope in, you know, different things. You maybe lost hope in a dream. Do you know that God loves it when we dream? Do you ever think God gave you a dream and you didn't realize it because you buried it with so much unbelief and doubt? How about if God wants to resurrect that dream today? What if God wants to let you know that he's behind you and he desires for you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, as the word says? That there is a dream that God's put in each one of us because we have a reason for being here. It's not by just going to work, paying our bills, you know, being a nice little Christian life. No, we're supposed to make an impact in this world, right? And we're called representatives, ambassadors of Jesus Christ. So we have this enormous, really, authority and power to represent Christ well. And if anything, I want to represent Christ well. And how do I do that? By being all he said I could be, right? And we need to know that he desires for you to have your full potential released in the earth. Every dream is born of God in a sense. You know, God puts a dream within us. And I just want you to think about something, you know, and sometimes we don't dream with God. We end up dreaming what is possible. But what happened if he wants you to dream for something totally impossible? How about that? Come on! What kind of God do we serve? Is he almighty? Is he able to do exceedingly above what we ask, think, or even imagine? Yes. And so why not believe that God can do something miraculous? You know, that's a problem. This world has forgotten that God still works miracles today. And we've witnessed miracles. We've seen miracles even in this place, just giving testimonies of how people got touched on the Awaken night. And my brother-in-law, who coded and was dead, but God brought him back to life. Come on. You know, I mean, come on, we have an incredible hope. Our God is a miracle-working God. He's a way maker, right? A promise keeper, as the song goes. We know we can put our trust and faith in him. You know, God, I believe, wants to give you dreams. He wants to give you dreams. Dreams of you know, different things. What is it, something that's a passion on your heart? A lot of times people ask me, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. But is there a passion? I think a good way to tell is, what do you really feel compassionate about? Because we're moved by the compassion of Christ. You know, God's love and his compassion is fierce. It's fierce. It's not sympathetic where, poor you, give me a pat on the back and it'll be okay. He's compassionate to the point that he sees your way out of it and he gives you life and life abundantly, even though that situation would cause you to feel that you are done. But with God, we're never done, right? God is always, we're a work in progress. So God has a way to find a way to answer all of our problems. He's attached a solution to every problem we have. But what happened if you were an answer, Jim, to a problem in this world? Right? What happened if God gave you a dream, Roy, that God gave you some kind of invention or something, even to cause your business to just boom? Let's prophesy over you that there's maybe a new way God is giving you that hasn't been even seen before, but God is going to give you just the mind of Christ and witty inventions and things like that can happen, that God desires to prosper because we are supposed to be an answer to this world. We carry a solution to this world. We're just not playing little Christian. We're playing God's kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just a formal prayer. God said we can be bold enough to pray it and believe it and then do it. Gosh, let's wake up and wake into who we are, because so often we have thought so much lower of who God is and who we are. I'm telling you, God is good and wants to show his marvelous works. But guess what? He wants to do it through you, everybody. Everybody's included in this. No one is excluded from this, because we carry something. We carry the very Spirit of God. The living God is within us. Gosh, we're not trying to do this on our own. It's the ability of God within us. That's what grace is, the ability to become what God said we could be. And we don't have to shortchange ourselves just because we fail, just because we're just maybe feeling not up to par. It doesn't matter, because God's power within us gets the job done. If we would just, you know, just yield ourselves and surrender ourselves to God, right? But some have protected themselves and wanted to stay in the comfort zone, right? I can get that way. I don't want to sometimes get out of my comfort zone. But that's not what God called us to be, in a comfort zone. You ever hear that saying about the ships? The ships, you know, are built in the harbor, but that's not what they're made for. They're made to go out to the sea, right? So there's so much more to what God has for us and what he wants to do, and he wants us to be intentional. Come on, do you ever, that's what I mean, dream big with God. What do you want to dream big with God about? Let's not put any limits to God. Amen? So we see that we want to be intentional. We have this great hope, and our hope, you know, faith celebrates as certain, as hope is visualized for the future. That's what happened to Abraham. He had a hope, and he visualized what was going to happen in the future as God spoke over him. And we need to understand God is speaking over us. He actually wants us to do what he said we can do and display his promise. Do you know his promises are mighty and powerful? They're just not little wish lists. They're powerful. The promise he has for us are able to perform what it has spoken to do. So we need to understand that we need to understand what the promises of the Word of God are. How important it is to read the Word, to understand the promises. It's like going to the bank, but you don't really know what's in the bank because we don't know what God put within the bank so that we can draw it out, right? So we need to get in the Word and see what the Word has said. We need to not just get in the Word, but become the Word, chew on the Word, be in the Word, and be the one that would dig in even more to understand it so we can live it. I don't know about you. I've done this where I've had like four different or five different translations of the Bible out. And I study, like, each one gives me a different revelation of what that means. I think that's awesome how God is, you know, I mean, he's just past finding out, you know, there's just so much to God. It's just like, I get, and you know what, I get so thrilled about, you know, discovering another thing with God, because there's so many times we just said, well, I think I know God already. No, there's a deep well of God's truth and God's ability and God's nature and God's love and God's peace and God's goodness that we have not even tapped into yet. And so this is where we need to go. We need to go. We have this hope, this incredible hope that God will show us these truths so we can live them in his power and his strength. Amen? And I think about Abraham. Everything was hopeless, but he believed anyway, decided to live not on the basis of what he saw but and what he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was a father, a multitude of people, right? God said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Remember, he said, you're going to have, you know, descendants as many as the stars. You know, and you know what? I read something. I was reading a book called Cosmic Faith. It was an interesting book. It's just how often we have our heads turned down, looking on our devices or looking down. But how many times do you go outside and just look at the stars? You look at the moon. I mean, really, this has been an encouragement to me when I do this. Because you realize we are like this. But when we look at the stars, how many stars, and they're put there in place, and God's named them, and how they stay there. I mean, you just start getting encouraged when you look at nature and how God created things. And he created them for our enjoyment and to display the glories of God. And so often we're so that we don't see the mightiness of God. And when I look at that, I get hope. Because I realize how big our God really is. And so often we've diminished him. You know, and I understand, you know, we come under attacks and we feel downtrodden. But when we look to God, our hope is refreshed because we know We can hope beyond all hope. We can have divine hope. You look at Calvary, that looked like a hopeless situation. But then came Resurrection Sunday. Amen? So every single person in this room has some dreams that are doable. But I believe there's some that you don't want to talk about because you think that they might be just too crazy. Right? And I do. You know what? I really believe. Can I? I'll just share one dream. I keep on declaring and decreeing. We are going to see miracle signs and wonders. That's what I want to see happen. I'm pressing in for that. I'm believing for that because I know God wants that. How do I know that? Just look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus is the perfect theology. Whatever you see Jesus do is permissible, is God the Father's heart to heal. Why can't we believe for that and want that? And I believe that is ours in Christ. Amen? He's already gave us the covenant of healing. When he died on the cross, he also died for our sicknesses and diseases. Right? That means yesterday, today, and forever. The work is a finished work. Amen? So we can believe in that. So do you ever think that on your job, God has actually, it's not a secular occupation, it's a spiritual occupation. That you're there for a reason, to show forth the goodness of God. We have such an amazing purpose in this world to make a difference. And I think of the Seven Mountain teaching, that all those mountains that we, as the church, as the ecclesia, should be forerunners in. The government mountain. How many know we need? Come on, some of us need the influence of godly principles and righteousness in our governments. How about in our schools? We're going through something right now, right? In our schools. You know, and I'm thankful God is starting to purge some of these things out that were hidden, that are being exposed. But I believe that, you know, even though there are people that are might leaving, we need someone to come in that's going to bring the righteousness of Christ in there and on godly principles. We need that in this country. Amen. So God will always be number one. We always say God number one, family two, ministry three. No, there's God is one, and that's the plan. You know why? Because if God is number one, you're going to be a great employee. You do everything unto the Lord. You're going to be a great spouse because you're going to love your spouse. You're going to be a great father or mother because you love God. You're going to show the goodness of God to your kids. You're going to even take them on vacation. You know, we always think we have to do something like religious in a religious box, but going on vacation is really an offering of worship to the God that you're taking care of your kids. Have you ever thought of that? Because we so get so religious, like, okay, worshiping God is on my knees, and I mean, it is that too, and praying, I'm not trying to put that down, but an offering, a fragrance of God's goodness is when you show great grace and love to your family. And it's so neat to see how God is restoring families. I think about Roy and George being here. Like, that's a whole miracle, awesome thing. I mean, really, praise God, that's restoration. That was a lost family, but now God has connected. That was no accident. And there's a time, and that is amazing. And then Angie tells her story about her family being reunited that she didn't know. It's a time for families, that God is restoring the family and family relationships. And we have a great hope that God is for us, for our healthy families. Yes. And we need to understand God wants to show his goodness in our families. If we have healthy families, what does that do to a culture? Come on. That's been the problem. The breakdown of the family has been a big issue. But God wants to restore that. He wants to give us hope, and he wants us to live in that very hope and the promises that he's given, that we can have that. Because you can look at a situation and it can look hopeless, but then God says, but I have restoration for that. God will point to that and say, I have restoration for that. Right, Angie? God has restoration for that marriage. God has restoration for that relationship with their kids. God has restoration for my parents, with my parents. God has restoration. He is the God of redemptive purposes and restoration. So there's never a situation that we should feel hopeless, because God is on it. He desires to have us have a rich life of relationships. You know, the kingdom is about relationships. It's about even leaving a legacy. You know, some people think legacy is, you know, just like when you get older, you leave something kind of legacy. But we are a legacy to this world. We are a legacy to whoever we meet, because you're depositing something. You're giving love. You're giving hope, you're giving peace, you're giving joy. You're leaving a legacy of that to whoever is hearing you, and how you display and demonstrate the Lord, right? So he wants us to be in this abiding faith with him. It's God's faith, abiding in his faith. Abiding faith is what? It's this continuing, enduring, persevering faith that regardless of what I see out here, I know God is working for me, and he can speak to me and give me hope, and he can give me courage, right? God wants us to have a heart of hope today, abiding faith where he can plant his promises. You know, it's hard to keep natural hope. When we look at things, it's hard to be in the natural, but we don't have a natural hope. We have a divine hope. A divine hope that God gives us, right? And when we hear God speak, when we have a word from the Lord, when we have a word of prophecy, we're holding on to that word and it becomes a life source. I never ever heard God ever give a downer word. Should I say it? Right? I mean, I would also say it. A word of discouragement, a word of, you know, like to tell you to give up or quit. He is a God of all hope. And hope comes and is the womb where legacy is born. It's out of hope, just like Abraham had hope. And out of that hope, out of the womb of that hope, he brought forth a multitude of descendants, being the father of many nations. Hope is the atmosphere through which the possibility is released into the earth, and that starts redefining our surroundings. Do you know you can cause an atmosphere and redefine your surroundings? Really, think about it. With God, with the joy of the Lord, with the peace of God, with the strength of the Lord, you can change your surroundings. Do you ever come in a room and you hear someone really complaining and na 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 na, and it just like, ugh, you can feel the heaviness in the room, right? It's just like, I heard someone say that complaining is the devil's language. And it's just like, we have power. We create things in the spirit and in our atmospheres of what we speak and how we walk and how we talk. Don't take that lightly. But I understand we go through things. I understand that, you know, sometimes situations can be hard. But the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 4:8, We often feel completely hemmed in on every side, but our inner space remains unrestricted when there seems to be no way out. This is what the Mirror Translation says. We escape within. What do I mean by escaping within? We find our oneness with God because God is with us. He's in us. That's where we end up tapping that well that God says we have within us. When we see hope is lost out there externally, we go in to see what the presence of God within us, the hope of glory within us, the hope, the God of all hope is saying to us as we look to him. Amen? So it's amazing how God has asked us to co-partner with him, that there's not one insignificant person in this room. You all have significance. And significance is important. It means important, worthy of attention, noteworthy, valid, vital, likely to have influence. We do have influence in this world. God created us in his image. And we were created for good works. That's what the Word of God says. And every day we can pass on a legacy of hope, of faith, and of love. I'll tell you one thing. I asked the Lord that I want to love well. In this world where there's so much hate, there's so much opposition, Lord, help me love through that. It's not a point of weakness. Meekness is not weakness, but it's power under control. And it's just like, I don't have to prove myself. I just have to love. The word says, you owe nothing to no man but love. Love is the breaker. Love goes above the law, right? The law tried to get us to obey, and we realized our sin consciousness, but love, when God came, he showed us our value because he died for us. You don't die for something that's not, you know, worth anything. He showed that he died for us because of our worth, how he saw us. So I'm going to just end with this is, let's give God more real estate. More of us. More of us to just change our mind to what, you know, what we think and then get on board with what he's thinking. What is it that you want him to breathe on? Something that could be just so far out. But you know, God works in impossibilities. That's never stopped him. He's shown himself faithful. I want you to think of a dream of something. Dream again. That's something you desire. Maybe no one even knows about it. And then ask God to just breathe on that real estate. That land. Just breathe on you. And let him co-partner with you. And watch how he uses, even the natural things to bring the supernatural and make spiritual impact. That's what he does with us, right? So you have a spiritual impact on this earth, bringing heaven to earth. What does the prayer our Father say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, here as it is in heaven. If you want to know what God wants to do on earth, what does heaven do? Can we come in agreement with that? Amen. So, I just prophesy over you all that this is a season of breakthrough. Come on. And this whole thing about just barely making it, we say no, because our God is a God of abundance. We pray, I pray, divine hope be swallowed up and consume any natural hope you have. Divine hope, not a wish hope, but a hope like Abraham had to produce multitude descendants. God wasn't cheap on that. God isn't stingy. God wants us to break through in abundance. And all we need to know is John 10:10, that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God came that we would have abundant life. What else do you need to know? Come on. Come in agreement with God. We pray. We declare healing over your relationships, your marriages, your family this season. That'll be a season of restoration, hope for lost family members. Even some of those that you think are so far gone, God has their number. But we know God restores the broken hearts and the broken lives, minds, and bodies. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing impossible. That there is not one unredeemable situation in our family lines, with me, with every situation in this world. There's not one thing that is not unredeemable. We declare that there's breakthrough of wholeness. We pray for dreams and things that maybe have been buried are getting unearthed right now. Things that have been in your heart that are being resurrected right now to show forth the glory of God. I pray God would breathe on your impossibilities and bring you life and extreme breakthrough in every level. God wants to prosper us from the inside out. God, you desire, it says in your word, to prosper your servants. True kingdom wealth impacts the world for good by the God who knows no limitations. Fear is a liar, and we will not worship fear, but in faith take risks for you, God. Help us, Lord, to take risks for you, to step out of the box and get you out of the box and believe some of these great and mighty things that you said that we would even do. You said we would even do greater things than what you did, according to John 14. Come on. So we stand in this abiding faith with the Lord. Our faith is with the Lord, his faith, the faith that is overcoming, that is continuing, that his faith is without change. He is constant. He's enduring. He's steadfast, because we know God is always with us, always for us. And if God is for us, like I read before, what can come against us? I have all of what heaven has. Because I have grace, the grace of God. The grace is God's power, his working power in my behalf. Grace is the empowering presence of God to enable you to become the person that God sees you when he looks at you. So we thank you, Lord, for this grace, that we don't live under shame, condemnation, or guilt. That you took that on the cross, and we are filled with grace. Grace is his working ability to help you make what you can never do on your own. We thank you for this amazing grace. We're thankful for this amazing grace, God. And we thank you, Lord, that there's more to even come than we even know. But with faith, we're going to believe for the greater, because the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. I want, if anybody has a dream, I just feel compelled. Do you want somebody to come in agreement with that dream and pray with you about that dream? We'd be happy to do that, or find someone to pray with about that and come in agreement with that. Because you know what? One thing is, we want to support the dream in you. It doesn't have to look like what I think it should look like, because it's not my dream. But I want to support what God has put within you, that that dream would come forth and it would reap fruit, and that it'll make a difference in this world. Because that's what he's calling us to. He's not calling us in a church. He's calling us out. It's now not just a personal thing. It's a missional thing that we are involved in. And we co-partner with God. So if you want prayer for any of those things that we mentioned, a family situation, we want to be able to pray for you. So we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We say this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.